Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
This is what I call freedom.
Ashley Judd, stupid fucking slut. You can't sue someone for calling them a cunt. If you can't handle the internet, fuck off, whore. I wish Ashley Judd would die a horrible death. She is the absolute worst. Ashley Judd, you're the reason women shouldn't vote. Twisted is such a bad movie, I don't even want to rape it. Whatever you do, don't tell Ashley Judd. She'll die alone with a dried-out vagina. If I had to fuck an older woman, oh my God, I would fuck the shit out of Ashley Judd. That bitch is hot AF. The unforgivable shit I would do to her. Online misogyny is a global gender rights tragedy, and it is imperative that it ends. and women's voices and our allies' voices are constrained in ways that are personally, economically, professionally, and politically damaged. And when we curb abuse, we will expand freedom. I am a Kentucky basketball fan, so on a fine March day last year, I was doing one of the things I do best. I was cheering for my Wildcats. The daffodils were blooming, but the referees were not blowing the whistle when I was telling them to. Funny, they're very friendly to me before the opening tip, but they really ignore me during the game. Three of my players were bleeding, so I did the next best thing. I tweeted. It is routine for me to be treated in the ways I've already described to you. It happens to me every single day on social media platforms such as Twitter and Facebook. Since I joined Twitter in 2011, misogyny and misogynists have amply demonstrated they will dog my every step. My spirituality, my faith, being a hillbilly, I can say that, you can't, all of it is fair game. And I have responded to this with various strategies. I've tried engaging people. This one guy was sending me hyper-sexual, nasty stuff, and there was a girl in his avatar, and I wrote him back and said, "Is that your daughter? I feel a lot of fear that you may think about and talk to women this way." And he surprised me by saying, "You know what? You're right. I apologize. Sometimes people want to be held accountable." This one guy was musing to I don't know who, that maybe I was the definition of a cunt. I was married to a Scot for 14 years, so I said, cunt means many different things in different countries. But I'm pretty sure you epitomize the global standard of a dick. I've tried to rise above it. I've tried to get in the trenches, but mostly I would scroll through these social media platforms with one eye partially closed, trying not to see it, but you can't make a cucumber out of a pickle. What is seen goes in. It's traumatic. And I was always secretly hoping in some part of me that what was being said to me and about me wasn't true.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Warner Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Thank you, Denver. Thank you for that that warm introduction. I want to say, hey, wow, it's a happy Monday. It's a bright Monday. It's a great Monday. Sun shining and everything. I'm glad to be back on the air. We've got a great week ahead of us on the show. Great guests, great people, great, just wonderful. It's just great. It's another great day in Chicago. It's sunshiny. It's going to be 90 again tomorrow, and that's beautiful. I mean, it's great weather. I mean, if you can get out there and enjoy it, be a part of it, let it sink all in. If you like nature, then this is your kind of weather. If you like nature, I mean, get out there and deal with your community, meet your neighbors, your friends, you know, the good people, you know. Get out there and enjoy yourself. Don't be depressed. Stop being down and, you know, people are feeling worthless and things like that. It's not worth it to feel worthless. Or it's not worth it to be depressed. It's not worth it to let other people be miserable. It's not worth it, you know, because they're making you miserable and they're not. So, you know, come to think of it, a lot of people, some people, not all, like to see other people miserable. So if someone's making you miserable and you are miserable because of it, then they're succeeding. They're succeeding. Do not let them succeed. Do not let anybody make you miserable or down or depressed or wanting to take your own life because you feel as though life has not handed you anything.
don't feel worthless. Don't think about depression. Depression is a sickness. It can kill you. Do not stress yourself out over things you have no control of, over things you have no say, that you can't change what's going on in the world. Don't worry about it. Just have fun. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your family, your friends, your good friends. That is, because a lot of people out there claim that they're your friends and they're not. It's a great day. It's beautiful. And I'm sitting in my studio as always. And I have this great big window in front of me. And I'm looking at people just passing me by on the street. And some are waving, some are not. But it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's not raining. It's not snoring. Let me say that again. It's not raining. It's not storming. It's not lightning or thundering like it was a couple of weeks ago. So, folks, get out here. If it's great where you are, weather-wise, get out there and enjoy the weather. You don't have to join a gym. Walking can do you wonders, even if you need to lose weight. Why spend your money at a gym, you know, especially if you don't have any, especially if you're tight, if it's tight. Get out there and enjoy yourself. Walk your dog, or, you know, or just walk by yourself, or walk with a friend of yours, or just enjoy the weather, because winter is coming. Winter is on its way. Enjoy it as much as you can, as often as you can, you know, and because the cold, the snow, I shouldn't say this, but the cold, the snow, especially if you're in the United States and you're in the city of Chicago and some of these other states and cities that have gruesome, horrific winters, you probably know what I'm talking about. So enjoy this nice weather that we're having right now in late July 2017. Enjoy this great, great, beautiful, wonderful weather. And because I am. And I want everybody who listens to the George Wilder Jr. Show to enjoy the weather, to enjoy this great, great, wonderful weather that we're having. It's beautiful. All righty. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, folks. I am glad to be on the show today. You know, every week when I'm starting the show off, it's like, wow. It's like a child with a piece of candy or something. You know, I just love it. I just totally enjoy it, even if 1,000 things go wrong. And sometimes they do, you know, especially with me. I mean, hey, wow. Sometimes I, you know, get ready for the show and things go wrong and I'm, you know, racing all over the place. I got a guest, you know, and stuff like that. I said, well, I got to go on because I have a guest. I have a guest. I have calls. I got to go. And then sometimes it doesn't work out that way. But anyway, that's hopefully nothing will happen during this episode of the show, because there was a little glitch when I was, you know, coming on today, but it's all right now. It is totally all right now. And I want to thank everybody for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank everybody who anticipate this show being on the air Monday through Thursday, 6 o'clock to 7:30 p.m. It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling because it's all about, once again, I'm going to say this again, it's probably has gotten boring by now, but making the world a better place one show at a time. That's all it's about. Making the world a better place. I don't care if making the world a better place can be something simple as just smiling at someone, you know, saying something nice to someone, saying something. It doesn't always have to be monetarily. You don't have to always give money to make someone's day. You can make someone's day just by saying hello. And I've always say this on every show that I've done so far, be nice to people, be nice to one another. Why You know, I guess what I want to say, stop being nasty. If you are being nasty, unreasonable, vile, mean, treacherous, it doesn't get you anywhere. Some people are like that just for the hell of it, just because they can be that way. Be nice to people. Be nice to those people who are nice to you. You know, I mean, give out what you want. Give out what you want to get back. You know, so, you know, and that in itself helps to make the world a better place. And that's what this show is all about, helping. All righty, if you want a hug, I will give you a pillow. If you need to be happy, I will be your smile. But anytime you need a friend, I will just be me. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Hate has no home here. Once again, folks, be nice to one another. And after the show is over, make sure you have a great, great rest of the week. That's what it's all about. Okay, alrighty. All right, you can follow me on Facebook, follow me on Block Talk Radio, follow me right here, LinkedIn. LinkedIn. I'm forgetting where I can be found. Probably on Wikipedia also, you know. So but basically totally a Google search will even remind me of the places that I can be found. All right, Facebook. Yeah, obviously, Facebook. I mean, who isn't on Facebook? You know, I mean, who isn't? I mean, you got people on Facebook that you don't even think they're on Facebook because they never post. They never say anything. They never click like or any of those emotions. They just sit there and they just read and just read what everybody else is posting, you know, and have their own little secret opinions that they do not share. So, you know, there's more people seeing your post than you think there are, you know, that's great. That's a great thing. And Facebook, I've gotten notices from the staff and the management from Facebook saying that I'm one of their, I guess what I'm saying is Facebook, the managers, the people who are overseers of Facebook, they are, what they want from each and every member on Facebook is for them to be, how can I say it? For them to be active. They want you to be active. They want you to bring people together by the things that you post. You post something on Facebook and you get about 25 or 30 people clicking like and responding. Facebook will acknowledge that because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for people who can galvanize other people on Facebook. And I can understand that. I can understand it, you know, because there's a lot of people on Facebook, as I've alluded to, who never post, who never click like. But sometimes if you write a post that might be interesting to those folks who never post, who just sit back and just read what other members are posting, they may actually decide to respond. And that's a good thing. And that's what Facebook is all about. It's all about interacting with other people, you know, and getting people to interact with you and the world. And that's what it's all about. However, you do have some people who, they, like I said before, they do not post. You know, they're watching what you post, what I say, what you say. They're watching the photographs, but you would never think anything about them. You don't know them, but they're there. They're watching you and they're listening. And, you know, once in a while you post something that might be interesting to those people. Voila, Joan Blind. Oh, I never heard of her. And you've been friends with her for maybe 4 or 5 years, but she decided to post something because you said something that she felt that she had a right to respond to. So, you know, I think it's a great medium, Facebook, because it brings people together. And you can meet a lot of people on Facebook. You can meet your girlfriend on Facebook. You can meet your future wife on Facebook. You don't have to go to some of these old dating sites. It's going to charge you an arm and a leg to meet some hooker or something to that effect. So, because you know what, a lot of these dating sites, and I'm not going to call any names, they are a bunch of scammers. That's all that is. You know, on some of these dating sites, you know, you go to, you have to pay to connect with someone, and then they have to pay to see your email, and then you have to pay to see their email after you done already paid to be a part of the website. It's a money grab. It's totally a money grab. All right, folks, that's my guest today is author Zeb Halpern. Zeb Halpern. Okay. Relationship and marriage. All right, on the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blob Talk Radio. It is 6:22 straight up Chicago time, PM. You know, I get a lot of guests on the show. They come in, they call and whatever to the show, and they're under a different time zone than Illinois is. They may be an hour ahead or hour behind because of where they live. If they're living on the West Coast or the East Coast, or even somewhere in between the Midwest. And remember, we all have different kinds of time zones. And a lot of times I don't really have a problem with a guest calling in or coming by an hour earlier because they are not familiar with the time zones. That's pretty cool. Anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, folks. It's great to be back on the radio. If you would like your product, service, or your book to be mentioned on the George Wilder Jr. Show twice a day, 4 days a week, right here on the George Wilder Jr. Show, just email the show or email its host for more details. Thank you. All right, let's get back to Ashley Judd. All right, Denver,
Ashley Judd, stupid fucking slut.
That shirt
you can't sue
there,
someone for calling them a cunt. If you can't handle
that's
the internet, fuck off, whore. I wish Ashley Judd would die a horrible death. She is the absolute worst. Ashley Judd, you're the reason women shouldn't vote. Twisted is such a bad movie, I don't even want to rape it. Whatever you do, don't tell Ashley Judd. She'll die alone with a dried out vagina. If I had to fuck an older woman, oh my God, I would fuck the shit out of Ashley Judd. That bitch is hot AF. The unforgivable shit I would do to her. Online misogyny is a global gender rights tragedy, and it is imperative that it ends. Girls and women's voices and our allies' voices are constrained in ways that are personally, economically, professionally, and politically damaged. And when we curb abuse, we will expand freedom. I am a Kentucky basketball fan, so on a fine March day last year, I was doing one of the things I do best. I was cheering for my Wildcats. The daffodils were blooming, but the referees were not blowing the whistle when I was telling them to. Funny, they're very friendly to me before the opening tip, but they really ignore me during the game. Three of my players were bleeding, so I did the next best thing. I tweeted. Saturday, It is routine for me to be treated in the ways I've already described to you. It happens to me every single day on social media platforms such as Twitter and Facebook. Since I joined Twitter in 2011, misogyny and misogynists have amply demonstrated they will dog my every step. My spirituality, my faith, being a hillbilly, I can say that, you can't, all of it is fair game. And I have responded to this with various strategies. I've tried engaging people. This one guy was sending me hyper-sexual, nasty stuff, and there was a girl in his avatar, and I wrote him back and said, "Is that your daughter? I feel a lot of fear that you may think about and talk to women this way." And he surprised me by saying, "You know what? You're right. I apologize." Sometimes people want to be held accountable. This one guy was musing to I don't know who, that maybe I was the definition of a cunt. I was married to a Scot for 14 years, so I said, "Cunt means many different things in different countries. But I'm pretty sure you epitomize the global standard of a dick." I've tried to rise above it. I've tried to get in the trenches, but mostly I would scroll through these social media platforms with one eye partially closed, trying not to see it, but you can't make a cucumber out of a pickle. What is seen goes in. It's traumatic. And I was always secretly hoping in some part of me that what was being said to me and about me wasn't true. Because even I, an avowed, self-declared feminist, who worships at the altar of Gloria, internalize the patriarchy. This is really critical. Patriarchy is not boys and men. It is a system in which we all participate, including me. On that particular day, for some reason, that particular tweet after the basketball game triggered something called a cyber mob, this vitriolic, global outpouring of the most heinous hate speech, death threats, rape threats. And don't you know, when I was sitting at home alone in my nightgown, I got a phone call, and it was my beloved former husband, and he said on a voicemail, "Loved one, what is happening to you is not okay." And there was something about him taking a stand for me that night that allowed me to take a stand for myself, and I started to write. I started to write about sharing the fact that I'm a survivor of all forms of sexual abuse, including three rapes, and the hate speech I get in response to that. These are just some of the comments posted to news outlets. Being told I'm a snitch is really fun. Thank you, Jesus. May your grace and mercy shine. So I wrote this feminist op-ed. It is entitled, "Forget Your Team. It is your online gender violence toward girls and women that can kiss my righteous ass." And I did that alone, and I published it alone because my chief advisor said, "Please don't. The rain of retaliatory garbage that is inevitable, I fear for you. But I trust girls, and I trust women, and I trust our allies." It was published. It went viral. It proves that every single day, online misogyny is a phenomenon endured by us all over the world. And when it is intersectional, it is worse. Sexual orientation, gender identity.
All right, that was Ashley Judd. We're going to get back to her in a bit, but I love Ashley Judd. I think she does better speaking than she does acting, you know, so, but she's a great actress, and I'm a super, super fan. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It is beautiful in the city of Chicago, folks. I wish you were here to see what I'm seeing. And like I said before, if you're out there, I mean, if you're somewhere in the world, get out and the weather is great. Get out there and enjoy it. Get some exercise. Spend some time in nature. It's beautiful. It's great. Remember, winter is coming. My tongue twisted when I said that. Winter is coming. Nobody wants to see y'all freeze to death. Anyway, let's go over to the phones. All right. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hello.
You're
How
on?
Are you?
Yeah.
Hi. It's okay. Dan Halpern.
Zeb Hepburn. Yeah, yeah. All right.
And, you had scheduled me for today.
Yeah, I know. I know. You're here right here on my marquee. I'm looking at your name, Zeb. And you're going to be talking about relationships and marriage. And anyway, give Zeb Halpern on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Give us a little bit of your bio and then get into this subject.
So I'm a psychotherapist. I've worked as one for probably 25 years. I started a corporate counseling program and worked with many, many married people and substance abusers, and sometimes both. And what happened from that was I kind of turned into a couples, and then it turned into a website, you know, then it turned into a TV show. So
wow.
You know, I do a lot of work with trying to get couples to come in earlier to recharge their marriage. My website is rechargeyourmarriagenow.com. And I started this show called The Raw Marriage Show. And every week we have a panel and lawyers and sex therapists and different kind of counselors basically talking about marriage, their marriages, marriages that they've worked, you know, with anonymously. And, you know, marriages are like a reality show. So when people come in earlier rather than later, there's a chance that you could salvage a marriage. So that's what I do most of the time in kind of all different kinds of ways. I see people online. I see them in my office. And, you know, I do this TV show. And I do interviews like this. So.
All righty. I wish I'd have known you a few years ago. Maybe you could have helped me save my marriage. You know, so.
Well,
but
you're not alone.
I guess there was no reconciliation on that matter anyway. So have you, for what you do, have any of your experience in your own life prompted you to do this, try to save marriages?
Yeah, my father, I'm the son of a clergyman, like the son of a preacher man. And, I watched a lot of people, you know, as I was growing up. I saw a lot of pain because I saw my father dealing with it all the time. And I looked up to him because he was able to help people who were desperate for help.
Okay.
With their families, with their everything. And so, you know, I kind of had a disposition to be in this kind of field. And that's really where it comes from.
Okay, so you like following the footsteps of your father, which is great. And
except not being a clergyman, you know, which is not something I want to do.
Okay. All right. Have you written a book on the subject?
I have not.
Okay.
You know, I spend a lot of time on my, you know, on the Raw Marriage Show, talking about, you know, marriage issues and writing for that and writing blogs. But I'll get to it. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is a subject where I think a book would do great, you know, because if you're doing all these shows, I mean, hey, wow, you can always have that book as a prop saying, hey, wow, the book is right here. And everything you need to know pertaining to saving a marriage is in this book.
Exactly. You know, there's many, many books on that, you know.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And if you go to the help section, you'll see many, many marriage books. Basically busy doing it, and you know, I've had the opportunity to do it. I just haven't done it yet. So
yeah, but you know what? There are 1,000 books out there pertaining to the subject, but you can always try to find a way to make your book a little different, to make it stand out a little more from all of those other ones. And you never know;
it could
take off.
You're right, George.
Yeah.
I mean, I thank you for the encouragement because I think it would be because I kind of approach it from a different thing. I kind of say it the way it is. You know, the Raw Marriage Show is no holds barred. It's about marriage. So, you know, it's got to be about adult stuff. We got to talk straight up. And we do. And you know, that's kind of what I'm known for, putting it out there and saying what other people are kind of afraid to say. But I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to do that. And I do it on the show, you know, every month.
Yeah.
I just the 30th show
Okay, how are people reacting to what you do?
They basically say, you know, we should just what you said. If only we would have come sooner. If only we would have heard this. You know, people need perspective. You know, you get lost in the reality show every day, 24/7 of a marriage. And, you know, in this corner, we find, you know, husband. In this corner, we find the wife. And, you know, they're duking it out, or they're not talking, or they're just sick of talking to each other because their communication is terrible. And they chase each other away rather than, you know, bring each other closer. You know, they scream and they yell. I mean, what does that do to you, George, when someone yells at you? You know, it's scary.
I yell back.
Yeah, but it's also kind of like, who needs it? You know, you want to go the other way. A lot of people drive home waiting for that, you know, to open the door. And either the husband or the wife, whoever it is, going to be yelling. You know, that's not going to make you want to come home. So,
how do you convince someone to get out of a loveless marriage or a loveless relationship? Obviously, you probably ran across marriages that you could not save.
Absolutely, and encourage them to think about, you know, that life could be happier, and that they might, you know, take that out for a spin in their mind. You know, they don't have to do it. Just take it out for a spin, because, you know, I don't want to tell people, you know, you're not right for you. It doesn't sound very happy here, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of motivation that you guys are doing to do anything about it. That's a very different. But you know, the answer to your question is, I would encourage the person who came to me to do something about their life, to take a very serious interest in their own life and pursue some of the things they really want to do while they're married. They can't, you know, shake themselves out of this marriage, because they're going to find that there's a world out there, and there's life and there's happiness, and, you know, it goes on. So,
I'm pretty sure you've saved more marriages than you could not save.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I want to call, you know, I'm not a savior. I'm just a facilitator.
That's what I mean.
You know, marriage counselors have to be very, you know, it's not like individual counseling. You have to be a little active. Couples need a little pushing. Sometimes they react pretty strong to that. The pushback's heavy. Two people pushing back on you because they want to keep the status quo. You know, the status quo is very strong in everything. And in marriages, the status quo is just like, it's ferocious. And if you talk about change, or you talk about, you know, somebody, or they all of a sudden think that you're telling them that it's their fault, the pushback, you know, can be, hey, they don't come back. You know, I'm not going to see that guy anymore. You know, I'm not going to talk to that person anymore. But the most important thing is that one of them hear it, the one who's listening, the one who really wants to do something about, you know, their situation.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I mean, they're War of the Roses, and, you know, they want to get out.
I remember seeing that movie, The War of the Roses. I believe it was, I can't think of the two stars that were in it.
DeVito, I think. Or was it?
Danny DeVito, and the guy was Robert Douglas, Michael Douglas.
Yeah, it was. It was Michael Douglas. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Kathleen Kennedy.
It's not a movie you want to watch a lot, you know.
Like, no, it's not. Like, but it was brutal.
It was. It was brutal, and I'm sure a lot of people related to it. I'm sure a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a story of a marriage that you've saved from the brink of divorce?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, on the brink of divorce, you know, there are people who, you know, with the internet age, there's a lot of stuff going on. Cheating isn't the same anymore. Cheating, you know, can be a little different. You know, people, you know, they get on, they start writing to each other, and I remember one that came in where it was being monitored, you know, by some agency, you know, this particular thing. And that was kind of scary, you know, that somebody had taken up with somebody, and, you know, at this husband's job, they were watching, they were watching this woman's relationship, and they came in, and they wanted, you know, they wanted to start anew. They wanted to do it.
Yes.
They felt like it, and they did the work they had to do, you know, and some of that work, forgiveness. Forgiveness is a hard commodity. There is one person, I remember one of the most famous preachers that's out there, his wife, they asked her, what's the ingredient for a good marriage? She said, forgiveness. And so you can understand that in that marriage, you know, they had a lot of issues. And forgiveness is a big deal. It's not just I'm sorry. It's a bigger picture than I'm sorry.
Because in a lot of marriages, the perpetrator, the guy is, the woman is always forgiving the guy, and the guy goes and does the same thing over and over and over again. So forgiveness is not always a good thing in a marriage or a relationship, because
it's action. You know. Forgiveness with action. You know, believe me, I don't teach people to be stupid. You know, I teach them to be a little, you know, that some people want to be caught. That's the craziest thing. People leave their browsers on, you know, they almost like an invitation, you know, to, and there are some couples that do some scary things with each other, you know, in terms of monitoring their communication. It's, you know, it's a new age, George. And
I know a lot of crazy people, stupid people, people who don't really think before they do something, you know, and it just messes everything up.
They never face those hard consequences of somebody slam dunking them and saying, guess what, you know, here it is, we're done, you know, and so it goes, you know,
I applaud what you do, because what you do is totally needed, because there are so many bad relationships, bad marriages that are about to break up. I mean, you've got people who are married for only a week or a month or of that sort. How do you know? And you tell yourself, why did you get married in the first place if you're going to divorce them in a week?
I think there are
people jumping in relationships.
I think they're asking themselves that too. Well, I think, you know, they have there's a fantasy, you know, about marriage. There's this, you know, thing that you cross over into this thing, and boy, you do cross over into this thing. But when the smoke clears, it's not as pretty as you might have thought, you know, that it is. It's real life. But the truth is that sometimes you have to tell some people who are mad at each other, hey, you two once loved each other. You held each other. You cared about them. You loved. You know, you didn't stop talking about, all you wanted to do was hold you and be with you and all that. You got to remind them of some of those times. You got to kick some of that stuff up so that they can, you know, you have to tell them, hey, ask for what you want from your spouse. What do you want?
You got some people who have dated for 6 months and they've gotten engaged, and suddenly they've gotten married, and they find out that that, you know, they were better off dating instead of being married.
Yeah, I'll bet they do. I know they do. You know, and that's a hard reality, isn't it? That's a harsh reality.
Yeah.
But, you know, people think they're due. People think you're supposed to get married. You know, they raise you kind of telling you, hey, you're supposed to get married, but they don't tell you how to be married. And they don't tell you what it's going to be like. You know, it shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, George, don't you like a heads up? I like a heads up, you know.
Yeah, I think we all would. Zev Harpin on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, tell us where we can get some more information on this, how we can get in touch with you, because this is a great subject. I think people are totally interested.
The website is rechargeyourmarriagenow.com. There's a lot of free stuff, so please, you know, avail yourselves of it. And you can watch the show, the Raw Marriage Show, on YouTube, at YouTube at Zev Halpern, YouTube.com at ZEVHALPERN.com.
And that's the Raw Marriage Show.
The Raw Marriage Show, and you can you know Google the Raw Marriage Show; it'll come up. And you know, there's 30 episodes filled with this stuff. So I hope
all
it's
right.
helpful.
Yeah, I'm going to take a look at it because you never know. I mean, anything that has to do with relationship and marriage, you know, it. I think a lot of people should be interested in that because, like you said, it could probably save their marriage or their relationship. I would think people would try to do everything they could to try to put their marriage together or try to want to stay married for a long time.
They need perspective and ideas. You know, and they need need some ideas, you know, and creativity.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Not everybody's so creative. So,
And they can probably get this from your website and from your YouTube channel.
Absolutely.
All right, Zeb Harvin on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks for being a part of the show, and we're going to take a look at that website. Thank you so much.
You have a good summer. Take care.
You too. Bye bye. All right. Zeb Harpin on the George Wilder Jr. Show talking about relationships and marriage. That's a good one, folks. That is a super duper good one. And we will do this and we will be back after we do it. If we can find it, here we go. Hey there, friends and fans. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want you to enjoy my fictional writings located on Amazon and elsewhere. The website is www.amazon.com/author/GWilder or go to the Amazon website and type my name in the text bar above to either order or download a book, a story, essays, novels, novelettes, whatever you want to do. And I want to thank you very much for that. And as always, good reading. This is George Wilder Jr. And keep listening. There's always more to come. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Donald Trump and his lawyers aren't just looking to interfere with the investigation into the last election. They're not just looking to disrupt it. They might go a step farther than that. The Washington Post reports that Trump has, quote, asked his advisors about his power to pardon aides, family members, and even himself in connection with the probe, according to someone familiar with the effort. A second person said Trump's lawyers have been discussing the president's pardoning powers among themselves, which is just standard operating procedure when you and all the people you know are innocent of crimes. You just talk a lot about pardoning. you're just curious about pardoning.
It comes up.
It does. Jay Sekulow, Trump's attorney, says pardons are not being discussed and are not on the table. So bear that in mind. But in light of this report,
Jay Sekulow said it.
Yeah, Jay, you can take that to the bank.
We should probably just end this clip. But you know, we're going
to
push on.
Bank.
We have a couple more minutes. So now there's this question. A lot of people are wondering, what is the extent of the pardoning power of the president? Can he pardon Mike Flynn? Can he pardon his family members? Can he even indeed pardon himself? And so a lot of legal scholars and law professors have been writing up their thoughts on this. And it is complicated. There have not been that many pardons this close to an administration. It's not really what the pardon was originally created for us to go back to. But we do have some guidance. A Michigan State University law professor said he can definitely pardon people who haven't been charged yet. And contrary to a common misconception, it doesn't require as a legal matter that he say they are guilty. So that again could be Mike Flynn, it could be Manafort, it could be Donald Trump Jr. And the general consensus is that he can pardon any of those people or beyond for things that they are being investigated for, things we don't even know about, things they haven't been charged with. And he can largely do that to whatever extent he wants.
He can start pardoning White House staffers as they enter the new job, as going through one of those like metal detectors and the pardon.
It could be like baptism.
Exactly. It could all be done at one time.
But significantly, you can't pardon yourself related to impeachment. That's in the, mm-hmm, the Constitution. Right. And you can't pardon if there was a state investigation. Mm-hmm. Like the pardoning power doesn't work if New York State, for example, were to prosecute him. But he might be able to prosecute, to pardon himself. Like that, we don't know. Like,
yeah.
That's a Supreme Court interpretive thing? Or?
It's a, yeah.
Well, I'm going to jump into a little bit of legal arguments.
Oddly enough, it hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened because the idea was that it's sort of a power of mercy that you could grant to another person, not that you would protect yourself and your inner circle from criminal charges. But I'm going to jump ahead because we could go into Gerald Ford, and he obviously, he pardoned Nixon for for offenses against the U.S. That he committed or that he might have committed. You don't even have to like spell it out. It can just be like you're absolved. But let's go way, way back in American history. In Federalist Number 74, Hamilton notes that, quote, humanity and good policy requires that the pardon power ought to remain in the hands of the president. He argued for that, although some disagreed, rather than dispersed among the many members of Congress, which is actually how it works in a lot of states, because the sense of responsibility he would feel in having such enormous power over another person's fate would ensure that he exercised it with, quote, scrupulousness and caution. Exactly. Two words I think of when I think of Donald J. Trump.
Well, Hamilton had a lot of faith, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He's naive, I think.
Yeah, there was seldom was Alexander Hamilton more wrong.
Exactly, yeah. Not saying anything about the show.
No.
Further, let's go to Jessica Lavison, a Loyola Law School professor, who said this. Shortly before President Nixon resigned from office, the Office of Legal Counsel issued an opinion in which they cautioned that no one may be a judge in his or in his own case. This is also a principle of so-called, quote, natural law. This meant the OLC said that the president cannot pardon himself. Although the interesting thing about the Office of Legal Counsel is that they're not the Supreme Court of the United States.
Yeah,
so that is something
that Brian Kaltz, who you quoted before, says that this is a fiercely debated but unresolved legal question. That's ultimately where
and
this is.
I mean, it would likely be a Supreme Court issue.
It would be. Now, but the president, first of all, he could be impeached and removed from office totally separate from whether he pardoned himself. In fact, you cannot pardon yourself to keep you absolved from the circumstances related to impeachment. That's directly in the Constitution. So removed from all this is whether as a political matter, though, pardon yourself. I mean, again, I get it. I don't think is more critical in general of this group of Republicans that we have in Congress right now. I cannot believe they would stand by while the president, after trying to fire the special counsel, then proceeded to pardon himself.
Well, I mean, here's how it's done, obviously, under the guise of this. Look, we are getting so distracted with this ridiculousness, this wild goose chase. They're not letting me follow my agenda. Right. The American people hired me to do a job, and this insanity in Washington is preventing me from doing that job. I'm pardoning everyone. I'm pardoning myself. Let's get on with the business. I mean, it would be sold like that.
It would be sold like that. But of course, then
that would work for most dictators, I think.
That's what he wants.
Right away, Duarte in the Philippines, he'd be like, you know what? I am going to come to the United States. It seems like actually a great place.
This mayor is just bothering me. I'm just going to kill him and then let's move on, people.
Yeah, so that would be challenged. So he would still have to deal with it as it works.
According to a bombshell new report from the Washington Post, Donald Trump has actually been asking his advisors and his legal team about his pardoning powers regarding himself, his family, and members of his staff. Now, according to the source from the Washington Post, this doesn't mean that Donald Trump is walking around saying, I can't wait to pardon myself. But the fact that he's even wondering how far his pardoning powers extend tells us that there's probably a reason he wants to know who and when he can pardon people. Look, as a former member of the W. Bush administration pointed out, this makes you look super guilty. And that's absolutely correct. You don't ask people how to pardon yourself or your family unless you expect to have to use those powers. Now, it might be just a little inkling that you have to use them. But if you have that inkling, then you also understand that there probably are some potential crimes that Robert Mueller, the special prosecutor, is going to uncover during his investigation. Now, asking about the pardoning powers is only part of this Washington Post story. The Trump administration is also apparently launching a massive counterattack on Bob Mueller himself and his team of investigators, asking his staff, his lawyers, to dig up all of the dirt that they possibly can on the people who are currently investigating the Trump administration. Their goal is to undermine these investigators by bringing up anything that they have in their past that might paint them in a negative light. It's exactly what Fox News typically does when a black youth in the United States is shot. Rather than using a picture of them looking normal, they try to find the most disgusting, horrible picture they can find and put that up on screen. That is exactly what the Trump administration is trying to do to these investigators. Probably not going to work. Everybody in this country, at least the majority of them, already think that you're probably guilty of something here. And this doesn't even necessarily tie in to the Russian stuff. Donald Trump understands that Mueller is going to go through his finances now, and that is what is driving Donald Trump crazy, because there's no telling who is involved in any of that, where the money's going, where the money's coming from, and what kind of deals he or his family members may have made to help put him in office. This investigation goes far beyond Russia, and to be honest, if we're going to have any chance of impeaching Trump, it's not going to be for anything involving Russia other than perjury. That is the key there. So anyway, that's where we're at with all of this. That's the Trump administration. He wants to pardon himself. He wants to pardon his family and his staff. And he wouldn't be having those thoughts if he didn't think for a second that this special prosecutor is going to come up with some kind of dirt on him or his family or his staff. And here's another little interesting part of the story. A president can actually only pardon someone after they've been convicted. So if Trump were to get convicted of something, he would actually then lose his pardoning powers and no longer be able to pardon anyone. Furthermore, if Trump is not convicted, but other people are, and he pardons them, those people then lose their Fifth Amendment protection, meaning that they will be called to testify and they will not be allowed legally to not answer the questions. It's a lose-lose situation for Donald Trump right now. And I have to say, that's exactly what this man deserves. If you like this video, make sure that...
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
All right, Donald Trump is at it again, folks. As you know of, as yesterday, he said he was a few days ago, he done blew something else out of his butt. He's saying that he alluded to a pardoning himself and pardoning his family. And everybody's, what in the hell are you talking about? This is crazy. This is an admission of guilt, whatever it is. And we don't know exactly yet because the investigation is still going on. But this is a total admission of guilt. If you listen to those clips, you know it's an admission of guilt. Anybody wants to pardon himself, pardon his family, and just he can't do it. He can't pardon anybody or get a pardon unless he admits guilt. And so far, he's not been admitting guilt on anything. It's just dirt has been found out on him because of the investigations. Now, Donald Trump jokes about firing Tom Price if GOP repeal efforts fail. Yeah, they're going to be voting on the healthcare bill tomorrow, and a lot of us are saying it's not going to pass because nothing has changed from a week or 2 weeks ago. But Donald Trump is saying that if it fails, he's going to fire people. If it fails, he doesn't want anything to do with it. You know, this guy is nuts. What can I say? You know more about this crap than I do. 347-857-1762. He says he wouldn't talk about politics. He held a Boy Scout event today, and it's been reported that he said he would not talk about politics, and he did. There is nothing that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth that you can rely on. I mean, Donald Trump just blows it out of his butt. When he says something, it comes straight out of his butt, and then something else comes out. The reporters jump on it. The world hears about it. But then he deflects you into talking and thinking about something else. I don't believe anything that comes out of this mouth. I don't believe anything that his surrogates say, the people who go around these television shows and talk shows trying to defend him. I have no respect for the White House anymore as long as this guy is in the White House. I have no respect. I don't believe anything he says. I can't rely on anything he says, because when he says something, he says it for Donald Trump. He does not speak for the entire country. Donald Trump speaks for Donald Trump. Donald Trump wants to pass this health care bill that's going to throw 32 million Americans off their health care. 32 million Americans will not be able to go to a doctor. This is what Donald Trump wants, and he is very emphatic about it. I mean, if this health care bill doesn't pass tomorrow, if it fails, it remains Obamacare, and Trump is doing everything that he can. If this bill fails, he wants the American people to blame Congress, the Republicans, blame the Democrats if it fails. He's another one of those Republicans that, you know, going to blame someone else for his key signature of repealing Obamacare fails. He's ready to throw Congress, anybody in Congress, under the bus but himself. He's not going to take the blame if this bill fails. So he's out there saying, pass this bill or you're going to get fired. Pass this bill or you're going to own it, not me. Of course he's going to own it. He can say anything he wants. He's going to own it if it fails tomorrow. But as long as the Republicans are in charge of Congress, they can vote Obamacare every day until 2020. You know, because it's in their it's on their side of the arena. Democrats can't do anything. Only thing the Democrats can do, and I do applaud them. They're making their voices heard. They're making their concerns known, even though they really can't do anything. And the Republicans, Donald Trump keeps the Republicans keep some of the Republicans keep saying bring Democrats on in on the discussions. But I don't think Donald Trump wants Democrats. I mean, he doesn't. This man doesn't know what he wants. This guy is the worst president ever. He's the most corrupt. He's the biggest pathological liar I have seen in the history of the United States. I mean, this guy lies and then he lies some more. He doubles down on lying. He's been lying since, you know, as president, he's been lying since day one. But as an individual, I'm probably sure that he's been lying like, you know, a train going to California on speeding down the tracks. I mean, Donald Trump is a liar. And he probably believes every lie that he is told. He's always bringing up some kind of catastrophic event with no proof, as like Obama tapped his Trump Tower. That has no validity. It had no validity whatsoever. He got away with saying it. Donald Trump gets away with lying so much, it's pathetic. This guy is totally unfit for office, and he doesn't give a damn about you. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about none of you, especially if you are a supporter. He could care less about you and your needs. So you voted for him. Big deal. Donald Trump saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm president of the United States, and you're not. And I'm running in 2020. The man is delusional. And he's threatening to fire Jeff Sessions, his attorney general. Today, he doubled down on firing him. You know, and it's a mess. He doubled down on, now he's talking about firing Tom Price, Republican Tom Price. President Donald Trump veered from his prepared remarks on 2017 National Scout Jamboree on Monday. Okay, I just got through telling you this, folks. He was at some kind of a Boy Scout meeting, and he actually said that he wasn't going to talk about politics and firing people. He did just that. Trump began his remarks to an annual Boy Scout summit in Beaver, West Virginia, by claiming he wouldn't talk about politics, but went off script several times to comment on the GOP Senate health care bill and chastise fake news, okay? Media coverage for his administration. He also recounted his election victory over Hillary Clinton, again boasting that most of the pundits didn't predict his win. You're right. We did not predict his win because he had no damn chance. But that doesn't make us fake news. Nobody predicted his win. Even Trump didn't believe he was going to win the election. He didn't believe. He was startled that he won. And he's still, I believe, kind of baffled to why he's president of the United States. But Trump can't seem to leave. He's 6 months, 7 months almost into his presidency, and he still can't leave this stuff alone. He still can't leave it behind. He's always touting his victory over Hillary Clinton. He should just leave it alone. And he's always touting how he won. He won the electoral vote. Hillary won the popular vote. If it wasn't for the electoral vote, Hillary Clinton would be president now. And he knows it, but he doesn't like it. He does not like it. The speech quickly turned to political after Trump introduced several members of his cabinet who are former scouts, including Price. By the way, this is Trump. I'm quoting. By the way, you're going to get the votes. He asks Price. Then Trump says, You better get them. He better get them. He better. Otherwise, I'll say, Tom Price, you're fired. I mean, he threatened to fire this guy if he didn't get enough votes to pass this atrocious health care bill. Trump loves firing people. And when you think about it, folks, Trump has been a Democrat all of his life. All of his life until 2011, when he started criticizing Obama's birthplace. I mean, this guy was a Democrat. I mean, how do you make that transition from being a Republican all your life in your 60s, 65 years as a Democrat? Suddenly, all of a sudden, you wake up one morning and you're a Republican. Doesn't make sense. But anything dealing with Donald Trump doesn't make sense. This guy is a, if you saw that clip and heard him talk about when he was on that bus, you know, assaulting women, and, you know, the guy is a serial women assaulter. I mean, he's not fit to be president. What can I tell you, folks? And wow, now he's threatening to fire Tom Price if he doesn't get enough votes to pass this health care bill, even though it is going to throw 22 million people off their health care. Trump doesn't give a damn. And the majority of those people who will get thrown off their health care are the folks who voted for him. But he doesn't give a damn. He doesn't care. Majority of the Republicans in office, senators and representatives, they don't give a damn. They are in lockstep with Donald Trump. They're in lockstep with this guy. Their constituency are saying, hey, impeach him, throw him out, do not vote for that bill. Their constituency, their voters, are against Donald Trump. But their representative is saying, the hell with you voters, I'm going with my boss, Donald Trump. See, when you send people to Congress and they get there and they decide that they're not going to represent you, even though you're their boss because you voted for him, then you got to clean house. You got to put some people in there that you can trust. And for the representatives, they only have 2 years. After 2 years, they either got to be reelected or they get thrown their asses out. Then you got some brave politicians. They'll say things like, well, we don't work for Donald Trump. He doesn't tell me what to do. It's my constituency that I have to adhere to. And a lot of these town halls, I mean, a lot of these Republicans go to their town halls. They get their asses handed to them by the voters. Then you have a lot of Republicans who will not go or visit any of these town halls because they feel as though they are better than the people who put their asses in office. So they will avoid those town halls and give any kind of a weak excuse to why they refuse to talk and to answer questions from their own voters. And that's ridiculous. I mean, they are giving Donald Trump their soul. And now, right now, Donald Trump is saying, I want loyalty from all of you guys. I want you guys to protect me. He's asking Congress to protect him. And I'm going, protect you from what? What the hell did you do? Obviously, this guy is guilty as all out hell. And we don't even know exactly what he's done yet. Obviously, like one of my guests said on the show, it's more here than Russia. It's more here than Russia. Because it seems as if Donald Trump is really, really trying to get himself out of trouble while getting himself in more trouble. I mean, I said this before. Somebody should tell Donald Trump the definition of self-incrimination, because that's all he has been doing. And I hope this special prosecutor, Robert Mueller, really come out with some damaging evidence to get this guy out of office. And from the way that Donald Trump is acting and the things that he is saying, Robert Mueller is going to nail this guy. But then Trump is saying Trump has two or three days ago that he wanted to fire Robert Mueller. And I think if Trump tries to fire Robert Mueller, the Republicans in Congress, they have to do something. Because there's nobody in government who has obstructed investigations as much as Donald Trump has and probably will be. Nothing is going to get through Congress because of all these investigations and because of Donald Trump's self-incrimination. The guy is guilty as hell. Why can't the people, the politicians in Congress know this better than I do? They have more crap on Donald Trump than I could ever. They know more about his criminal ways than any of us out here in America do. But yet they will not do their duty to protect America against this thug, this crook, this mafia wannabe boss, Donald Trump. Donald Trump does not care anything about the people of this country. Only thing he cares about is himself, his family, and getting his fucking way. This is what this man cares about. And the Republicans, they know it. But I've been hearing one of the reasons why they will not impeach Donald Trump, because the Republicans want to get their agenda passed. And they need this clown to do it. Someone said Mike Pence will probably make a better president. As much as I have been against Mike Pence being president, I would probably welcome him now. I would welcome Mike Pence, a Republican Mike Pence. I would welcome that guy as president of the United States, as my president, right now, because Donald Trump is just smearing, manuring all over the United States. We are a laughingstock around the world, and we continue to be a laughingstock. As long as Donald Trump remains president of the United States, we will be embarrassed and we will be more of a laughingstock than ever before, because the world is watching the United States. We have lost our leverage in the world. We have lost some of our standing in the world because of this guy. So I'll say this, come November 2018, I hope every American, every voting American, get out here and do your duty and get this guy out. If you don't get him out, at least vote in. If you can't, more likely, Donald Trump will still be president if he's not impeached by then. But at least we can vote out those Republicans who refuse to do their job, refuse to represent the people who put their asses in office. We can clean out the House of Representatives. Put in some people that are not going to kiss Donald Trump's feet, kiss his ass, whatever. Because that's what Donald Trump wants. He wants loyalty. He wants you to kiss his butt. And a lot of people are doing it. A lot of people are doing it. He wants you to be a peasant in front of him, because that's what he thinks of us out here. That's what he thinks of people who are with no money, people who aren't rich like they are. We're peasants. I mean, if you're going to work every day, you know, you're struggling, you're poor, you're middle class. We're peasants to Donald Trump. And that's no lie, because he doesn't care what we think. He just want to try to hurt people. And that's another thing I wanted to say. A lot of these folks in Congress, Democrats, Republicans, congressmen, congresswomen, some of them, not all of these people, some of these people are in Congress to hurt people. Hurt the very people that gave them their jobs and their great health care. There is no doubt about it. So come November 2018, we have to get out here in droves because some federal judge has just granted Donald Trump a win on extracting voter information from states. But a lot of states, I think over 45, say they refuse. I think there's an option. There's always free information out there that they can grab. But I don't want Donald Trump having my voter information. That's mine. I mean, I should have some say over that. But Donald Trump doesn't give a damn what I think or what I say. He wants my voter information. He doesn't give two shits about what I think. He wants it. He wants what he wants. But I'm hearing that Illinois is one of those states that is not going to give up any voter information to Donald Trump and his goons, because it's all about voter suppression. It's all about keeping you and everybody else in America, every voter in America, from voting. The Republicans want to stay in office forever. And the only way they can do that is by cheating or changing the Constitution. They want to do that. They don't like some of the things in the Constitution. But we have the power. The people of the United States, we have the power. The Republicans in Congress will not do their jobs. Then we, the American people, will have to do it for them. There's no doubt about that. And they know this. A lot of these Republicans in Congress, they know that their jobs are on the line in 2018. They know it. But they still are kissing the boots of Donald Trump. They know that they will not have a job. They know that they will not have the great health care that they have now because the American people will fire them. And it's a challenge for us now, folks. It's a real challenge. We have to get out here and do what we have to do to save our country. That's no doubt about it. We have to save our country from these thugs, these crooks. This is more than Watergate. This is more than just Watergate. I mean, Watergate is nothing compared to what's happening to our government and our democracy today. Nothing. This is the enchilada. This will go down in the history of the world, not just the United States, once this is over and once Donald Trump is out of office. You know, he has really, really wrecked this country. And all he wants to do is wreck it some more because he thinks we're nuts. We're crazy. We don't know any better. And now he's asking the Republicans in Congress to save his ass. He's asking them to protect him. Protect you from what? From the Russia investigations? From people finding out there's discrepancies and payments to Russia in your finances? Oh, he doesn't like that, folks. He don't want Robert Mueller going into his finances, and Robert Mueller said he was going to go into Trump's finances And Trump said, no, 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 no. He doesn't like that. And that's probably one of the reasons why he's demanding that the Republicans in Congress protect him. But how can someone protect him? They know that at any moment, anytime, Trump is going to throw one of them or all of them under the bus. Because that's what he does. I got a feeling that half the Republicans in Congress, if more, don't even like Donald Trump. But they deal with him. They don't like him. And they don't trust him. And a lot of things that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth, they pay no attention to. Just like a lot of us American people, we pay no attention to it. But we hear it. We talk about it. Why? Because he is the president of the United States. He's the president of the United States. And probably tomorrow, something else is going to come out. Something else newsworthy, or a bombshell, or he's going to lash out at somebody. This is what's been happening since he's been in office. And God help us, if this guy go another year in office, we are going to be in a lot of trouble. We've got to get this guy out of office. He's unfit. He's unstable. There's something psychologically wrong with Donald Trump. He's not going to admit it. The people around him are not going to admit it. But the American people, we know better.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven never saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. Heaven help us all.
Everything, and thank you for listening. And thanks for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Bye-bye, everybody. Take care.